Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I honestly grow insecure as I get older. Cause even when you hot, there comes a day when you get colder. Comes a day when you slower. Time is taking its toll. 45 on the back of the jersey upon your soul. I'm scared of letting go. I don't know what the future holds. My nightmares are having nightmares. I'm quite scared of what's right and fair. How I fare in eternity. Will I hear well done when he turned to me? Will I hear you care too much about all this stuff that really don't matter? You chase the wind and you want it. Got to the top of a 2-foot ladder. What's after? I can capture all this mess. My heart was after. Will I end up empty-handed when I stand before my master? Did I master the mathematics of a passive disaster? Adding my selfish ambition, all the while subtracting what matters.
Ain't no nights I can't sleep. Will I fall? Will I peek through the curtains all I see? Fingers pointed at me, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it, and I'm wondering what they thinking, thinking about. Late nights I can't sleep, counting cash, counting cheese.
I remember a couple times I couldn't back that up. Like when I ran from them vatos, scuffing up my zapatos, scared of losing my hide. I was so embarrassed inside. If I could go back in time, I would stand and say something like, I ain't never scared, never scared, never scared. I'm lying, I'm scared of these thoughts in my head. I'm scared of possibly pushing people right over the ledge. When I say I pledge allegiance to the struggle, then I turn around and buckle under stress and under pressure. Fly below my dresser that could teach my pain a lesson, but I'd rather not address it. Address is in depression. I'm scared if I confess it that you gon' look at me like I'm something less, and I'm such a mess.
Celui qui a peur d'admettre ses craintes et celui qui ne pourra pas les surmonter. On trouve la liberté dans la confession et la liberté dans la reconnaissance.
And it just so happens I'm wrestling with my status. I'm trying to see me like he do, not focusing on his madness. They count me out on the counter, they fear and doubt. Keep a count of my wrongs, trying to keep me inside their house. Some just keep me around, gotta wonder what that's about. Yeah, they want to be politically correct, I suppose. But I'm comfortable in my skin while they just pretending they close. I'm scared of falling and failing in front of all of my foes. And I feel some friends are unfaithful, so I keep my small circle closed. I don't want no handouts or favors, no function, no favors. I'ma tell that truth till it kill me, and I'm chilling with my creator. Jesus, 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 Jesus to all of my haters. For the ones who think I forgot them and the ones who won't let me say it, I ain't getting no more.
その先に自由は存在し、恐怖は解き放たれる。
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you for joining me for another riveting edition of Live with Dr. D on this fantastic Tuesday. We pray your day is well already. In the next few minutes that we spend together, we pray that it gets even better. The world is changing, and I wonder if you're paying attention to it. Our real talk topic of the day, We're going to look at the fact that America is closing its borders. Now, I know that ain't who gay, and I know that's not who sleeping with who. But don't worry, I got a little bit of that and some sound clips for you. Nephew Tommy, again, another great, great one. One is kind of eh, but that one's really good, and I'll let you decide which one you think, which one is best to you. So we got some sound clips, we got some music we want to play, and we're going to get into our topic. The land of the free, the home of the brave. Starting wars, contributing to chaos all over the planet, and then takes a foreign policy of throwing a rock and hiding its hand. We're going to look at the aspects of this because I wonder if, again, we're paying attention as America closes its borders. Brothers and sisters, a change is coming. No, I'm not about to play the song, "There's a Man at the River." No, I'm not going to do that. However, we'll play this.
Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about something. Real talk radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls, a hot talk show. Real talk with the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin'. Music got me hopping. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it up.
Real talk with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, I'm in the zone.
Real
talk with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, you know it's on.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know. So you thought I was worth, so you came. You thought I was worth, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free. Hold up, everyone. You thought I was worth, so you came. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up in. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free. So you came. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up in. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed. Hallelujah. So I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone. One more time. You thought I, so you came. You thought I was worth, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you cleaned.
Checking in with us. I want to get to our topic, and I want to play, instead of reading the article, I want to play the actual news clip. I know sometimes that I stutter and things like that. So we're going to go to our Real Talk topic. Right after that, the phone lines will be open. Excuse me, at 516-387-1299, 516-387-1299. Let me set this up. You know about the bombing, terror attacks, and the war going on over in the country of Syria. Well, the people of Syria are looking to live in another country. They're looking to flee from the battle, from the war. The resources are scarce. Bombs are blowing up. They're looking to flee to other parts of the world. And so it has been happening that whatever country takes in a refugee from Syria, the enemies of Syria bomb or cause some type of terror incident in that country. And so countries around the world now are closing their borders to these people who are standing in need of help and assistance. And now America is doing it. 27 states, 27 governors have said that they will not allow Syrian refugees, refugees to live or come into their state. 27 governors of these United States have said, no, you can't come here for help or live here. That is our Real Talk topic of the day. It's nothing more than for information so that we will not be guilty of being uninformed of what's happening in our own country.
We cannot let them come into this country, period.
It's a sentiment spreading like wildfire now in both parties. No Syrian refugees in the U.S.
We can't have another problem, and this could be one of the great Trojan horses.
Governors across the country are now taking matters into their own hands, closing their state borders, from Alabama to Arkansas to Indiana, Michigan, and more.
I am now requesting that the president and the federal government cease sending refugees from Syria to North Carolina.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced his state will not accept refugees from Syria precisely as President Obama was speaking on the matter in Turkey.
When I hear political leaders suggesting that there would be a religious test for which person who's fleeing from a war-torn country is admitted, when some of those folks themselves come from families who benefited from protection when they were fleeing political persecution, that's shameful.
That a thinly veiled hit on presidential candidate Ted Cruz.
I have to say, particularly in light of what happened in Paris, that's nothing short of lunacy.
Cruz, whose father fled to the U.S. from Cuba, told us today he will introduce legislation this week banning Syrian Muslim refugees from America.
What would have happened if your father was trying to get from Cuba to the United States and the political leaders here said, nope, we don't think so, because who knows, maybe you could be somebody who could, you know, commit crimes against Americans.
Well, see, that's why it's important to define what it is we're fighting. If my father were part of a theocratic and political movement like radical Islamism that promotes murdering anyone who doesn't share your extreme faith or forcibly converting them, then it would make perfect sense. You know, one of the people who carried out this terrorist attack in Paris was a Syrian refugee who came in, and the president apparently is perfectly fine with bringing people into this country to carry out similar acts of terrorism.
Ben Carson wrote House Speaker Paul Ryan calling on Congress to stop paying for programs to resettle refugees.
Congress, I think, should defund all the programs that allow these people to be brought here immediately, today.
Ohio Governor John Kasich, who initially supported bringing Syrian refugees to the U.S., changed his mind, citing security concerns.
Look, there is no way that we can put any of our people at risk by bringing people in at this point.
That is a sound clip started with Donald Trump. I heard Dr. Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, these contenders for the presidency 2016. Are now speaking on whether or not America should let Syrian refugees into the country. Our Mayor Rick City is now live with us this morning to get his thoughts and commentaries on this piece. The nation is changing, the world is changing, and I, as I always say, Rook, I think that this is just the beginning and a distraction. Good morning to you, and what do you think about what we're talking about?
Wow. That's deep, Doc. I didn't even know about this back until this morning. I'm like, wow. So my question I got to ask is, are they refusing to let people in because they're a terror threat? Or are these people fleeing for their lives?
Well, ironically, both of those are the rationale. The people are fleeing from, you know, they're first of all, they're leaving their home because their homes are being destroyed because of war. So they're fleeing for help. But the thought process is that some of these people can be terrorists, so they don't want to let them into the country. And the other thought is, if we let them in the country, then the people who are, you know, the people that the Syrians are fighting are going to cause terrorist attacks in America. So it's one and the same. See,
wow.
The thought is, let's close the borders to protect America. Let's close the borders to protect American citizens. If I don't let Syrians into my state, then I can protect the people of my state from terrorist attacks.
I mean, I get the logic. I get the logic. But what about the people that really need help? They just left out here to die?
If this policy takes root, I mean, ultimately it's up to the federal government. It's up to President Obama and his administration whether or not to close the U.S. borders, okay? But there is some legality into states' rights. And there are a couple of things that, I mean, that may be a little bit far-fetched, but there are a couple of things that can happen here. See, there was another time in our country where the federal government said, treat people this way, and then the state said, no, we're going to treat people this way. And it called the Civil War. And they came down to slaves. So a governor can say, you know what, I have states' rights. I have to protect my state. I'm not going to allow Syrian people into my state. President Obama can order, okay, let them in. If the governor refuses, then there has to be some consequences. Do I think that this issue is big enough to cause the second civil war? No. But are the chess pieces on the board for one particularly? Yes.
It just got me thinking, right? So ironic, man. This is just the way this stuff happening. It goes back to yesterday. Don't all lives matter?
We're
taking the Syrian people and we leave them out to hang. I mean, I understand some of us will be terrorists. But it's like, we in the United States, man. We're supposed to have the best country in the world, especially when it comes to protecting ourselves. We go out here and defend other countries and protect other countries from terrorists against them. If we can't protect ourselves, man, then why are we going to fight other battles?
Well, you know, what you just said is one of the things that some of these governors are saying. I have to protect my citizens and our state. You know, that's what they're saying. And so not letting these Syrian refugees in is their way of protecting their citizens. I mean, each state has its own National Guard. You know, so there is a military aspect for each state. And the funny thing is, well, I think they just rescinded it. There was an amendment. I forget what you call it. Yeah, I think it was an amendment to the Constitution, and I forget, I don't have the word verbiage, but there used to be a thing in the Constitution where, and it was Latin, where the president could not use U.S. military forces on the continent of the United States. He could not deploy U.S. troops on American soil so that, you know, he couldn't, you know, that it would stop the president from becoming a king, you know. That's how they put it in there. But each governor has, again, a state armed guard. So each governor has his own piece of the military. And they can deploy their state troopers or the, you know, state troopers or their military personnel, reserves, at will. And so you can have a situation where you got states battling because some states are going to agree with the federal government. Some states are going to take this line of not letting citizens in. And again, like I said, do I think that this issue is big enough to cause another civil war? No. But it's definitely there. Because what happens if they also try to flood here and President Obama says, let them in, and then like in Michigan, Governor Rick Snyder said they can't come. And Snyder won't move. He won't budge. He doesn't care about the threats of economic sanctions and things like that. You know, so you have a situation where the president has to prove he's the president, and Snyder is going to say he's not going to lose face. So there's a standoff there, and it's dangerous, man. But the problem I have with it is that, you know, although concern and wisdom are very important, paramount, you know. They're creating a fear state. I say this, and I'll say another piece. A fear state. Well, some of them might be terrorists, or you know, we might have terrorist attacks. Well, you know, that's true anyway. We have found now there are Americans that's living here that's adopted the principles and the mindset of terrorists, and Americans are blowing up stuff, shooting up schools. So, you know, we're looking at people with a certain color or a certain background or a certain religious identity to call them terrorists. Well, there's terrorists living here. You know, if we go riot, if we're going to go have a peaceful march and decide, okay, we watched two or three blocks, now we mad, let's start burning up stuff, how is that not terrorism? So it just, to me, it's a slippery slope, and there's something behind it. And you know, for this to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, yada yada yada, and we're gonna close our borders to those in need. There's something up with that. 516-387-1299 is the call-in number if you want to call in and share your views. Thank you for the number of you that's on the switchboard. Hit the number 1 on your keypad if you want to go live with us and then share your comments all over the country. 516-387-1299 for those listening via the Internet and not directly called in to the show. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to the 704 area code. Oh, my, does this number look familiar? Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing? Yeah, that situation is kind of like almost a catch-22, you know, kind of like in between. Because, you know, humanity-wise, you know, you want to help, you know, be helpful to other countries, other people, and other people in bad situations. But it can also set you up for a mold to be inside, too. And don't get me wrong, I like, you know, for everybody. But sometimes you got to take care of cutting your own grass before you cut somebody else's, you know. We have enough people over here that's out of work, out of home, you know, and sit in different things. But we want to bring more people in to create and make it a bigger problem, you know. So I'm just saying it just, you know, we got to be careful with that. And we might get these people who put enough in to overthrow us, you know, or, you know, put enough molds, and, like I say, inside. The next thing you know, you got everybody in there, then they flooded, you know, but they already in. So that's the way I see it, you know. Until we address our own homeless population and our own jobless population, I don't think we should let all of them or all of whomever in. You know, we got to be very choice and picky, you know. And maybe I'm using, it's kind of like if you let a couple of rabbits in, you know, rabbits multiply by a whole lot, you know, then they go to multiplying, you know, and then one take over another, then what can you say and do? So, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Well,
I mean, I don't mind helping.
I apologize.
Like I said, I don't mind helping, you know, other people, other race, because we all need love and help and attention, you know. But, you know, that's like me inviting somebody in. They got 9 kids. I got 5. I mean, I don't understand how, you know, I'm going to be able to, you know, make that work. That's only going to make the situation stressful.
You make an interesting point, and when you were talking, brought back to my mind. This happened before. Back when Hurricane Katrina happened, okay, and the bayou in Louisiana was devastated by the hurricane. A lot of the people fled. They fled their homes. And even after the disaster was over, they couldn't go back. And so they fled to different states. And it was an issue. And I remember that a number of them came to Detroit. And I know this because I was working for Detroit Public School System at the time. And so there was a memo that went out, and we had to be prepared to receive these new students who migrated here from, you know, New Orleans. And it became an issue because and it was more than you might think. Probably not as many, but there was a lot of people. There were hundreds and hundreds of people that came. And what happened was, when they got here, they were put up in hotels. They were given not special treatment, but they were looked after. Okay. And so it was homeless people in Detroit saying, "Hey, I've been homeless here in Detroit 5, 10, 15 years," you know. And so it was a thing of, why are you treating these outsiders better than you treat us? You know, and that is one of the things that is an issue that's not been raised up in the debate as far as the political components are. But if these refugees come over here, they're going to come over here with the aid of the Red Cross and all the humanitarian services available to them. And so they're going to, because you can't let them come in and live on the street. You got to put them somewhere. You know, so, brother, to your point, that is something to look at. But I'm thinking this, and, of course, easy money, Rook, is if we took care of our own people, then we'll have to worry about that in itself. But the reality of it is we don't take care of our own people. You know, there's some issues with that, you know. But like you said, I'm of one that said, you know what, I'm that guy, and that's call it a weakness. I'm that guy. I've done it time and time again. I've put myself out to be a help to someone else because if I was in a position to help, that's what I was supposed to do, and I have a problem doing that, you know. Is it always the most wisest thing to do? No. In that same vein, is it always the most logical thing to do? No. But is it the right thing to do? Yeah. You know? And being right costs. You know, it's going to cost you something. So we're still talking about it. America closes its borders. 27 governors of these 50 United States have said no Syrian refugees are able to come into our state. And we want to hear from you on the topic. 516-387-1299 is the call-in number. 516-387-1299 is the call-in number. I'm going to play a sound clip here. It's not my... Actually, you know what? I'm going to play the funny one first. This one is funny.
I got a question for you, man. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to it. I told you I didn't hear nothing about it until this morning, so I'm just, you know, it's hitting me. I'm like, is that a form of, like, racism? Because you let the Mexicans and the Asians in, but you from Syria, don't you come over here. Ain't that, like, a form of racism, Doug? It's like
it is. Islamic and Muslim Americans are the most discriminated people probably in the world. The Muslim religion is as discriminated against as for their religion as blacks are for their color. Because if you're Muslim or Islamic, you're a terrorist. Just like if you're black, you're a thief or you're lazy. Mm-hmm. And we're comfortable with those things. You know, we make jokes. We see someone with headgear on or whatever covered up. They're they ain't got no bomb on them. You know, we're comfortable in this country doing that. You know. Yeah. So yeah, it is discriminatory, man. It is. Because if there's Jewish or Christian, you know, and let me say this because like I said, the Muslim or the Islamic religion, you know, all is violent. They promote violence, blah blah blah. This and the third. I'm a devout Christian. I'm a follower and believer of Jesus Christ. I preach His gospel. I try my best to live to the evil that He put forth in His word. I try to walk in the Spirit He gave me, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. I thank God for Him. I know I have a place in heaven, and I know I have a calling on this earth. I'm anointed, and I'm gifted, and I thank God for all of that. I'm a sinner, nothing more than a sinner saved by His grace. That's all I am, and I have no problem with that. I strive every day to be better than I was the day before. I try to help everybody I come in contact with, and I try my best not to hinder or hurt anyone. Having said all of that, more wars on this planet have been fought in the name of God by Christians than any other religion on the planet. Christian wars have been fought time and time again. That's the truth. That is just the historical truth, you know, because every person that calls themselves a Christian is not Christian in the biblical sense. Some people that call themselves Christian ain't Christian at all. They have no idea what the word means. You know, some people just go to church. Church never go home with them. They just go. And because they hear the term Christian as a umbrella, you know, they figure that applies to them too because they go. But it's not, making you a Christian is not how you go to church. It's how you live afterwards. It's your lifestyle. Being saved is not a destination. It's a lifestyle. But folks don't understand that. My point is, some folks say that all Islam or Islamic people or all Muslims are violent and hateful and all that, and that's not true. Not at all. You know, and if anybody really wants to do any empirical research, you'll find that out. But even if you don't want to do that, find somebody you like Malcolm X, and look at him And look at his life. Look what he preached. Look what he taught before he went to Mecca. And look how being at Mecca changed him, because he always believed that all Muslims were black and that the white man was the devil. And so he went over to Mecca and saw blonde hair and blue-eyed men and women worshiping the same God he did, practicing the same faith he did, living the same religion he did. And he admitted he got it all wrong. If you pay attention, you can look at even Mr. Louis Farrakhan. He still got some of his ways. He's old. He's 83 years old. You know. But if you look at how he used to talk and things he used to say, it's changing. So, yeah, it is discriminatory. It really is. It really is. And it's not right. It's not right and it's not fair. But, you know, that is something that's true. Very, very true. You kind of listened under me when you said that, because I was going to get to that later on. But no time like the present. Praise the Lord. I feel preaching now, you know. Well, all right then. All right. We're still taking your comments. 516-387-1299-516-387-1299. We're going to play this clip. Actually, we're going to play, I'm going to dedicate this song to Rook, and then we're going to play the clip right behind that. You're live with Dr. D.
You know, man, times in this Christian walk, you fall off and start slacking, you know what I mean? I gotta get back on it, man, I'm slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man, I'm back up on my mission, back up on my mission, I'm back up on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man, I got to pay attention, cause I'm working for the Lord and I'm slacking on my mission, on my mission, yeah, on my mission. On my mission, yeah, on my mission. I was slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission. Now I'm back up on my mission, I'm back up on my mission. Yeah, ministry, back up on my mission.
Listen,
I used to study hard, now I'm fumbling. Used to come easy, now I'm struggling. I need to free my mind, need to read my words. Yeah, sound easy, hardest ever heard. Hit a whistle blow, it's time to hit the streets. Head undercover, hiding with the sheets. And I can't sleep, Lord, my mind weak. Lord, bring me to the herd, I'm a lost sheep. I'm sorry, Lord, I wanna be pleased. But I keep the gospel to myself like it's treason. Far from Lawrence, no seasoning. Man, I try to be good for no reason. And I'm back on it, I'm done slacking. I'm on the mission, and I'm done packing. When truth talk, truth happen. Put a bow on it, cause I'm through rapping. I gotta get back on it, man, I'm slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man, I'm back up on my mission, back up on my mission, I'm back up on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man, I got to pay attention, cause I'm working for the Lord and I'm slacking on my mission. On my mission, yeah, on my mission, on my mission. Yeah, on my mission, I was slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission. Now I'm back up on my mission, I'm back up on my mission. Yeah, 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 JV, yeah,
back up on my mission.
I thought I had it though, but I'm slacking on my mission. The Lord on my flaws, all of Jesus' intuition. Going steadfast, but it's still something missing. My sins really washing like a set of dirty dishes. I used to stand tall, now I'm falling down. Moses saw the burning bush, instead I beat around. Can't you get the picture, get your Kodak on? Or it ain't in the frame, or something just went wrong. I used to read my word, now I don't even read a magazine. Instead of praising him, I seen the worst of real things. I gotta get back on my mission, get back on my feet. With the Lord on my side, then I can't accept defeat. And yes, I swear I'm the man, but I'm still sinking in like I stepped in quicksand. I'm stuck in something deep, trying to push through. If I had 99 and a half, it still won't do.
I gotta get back on it, man, I'm slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man, I'm back up on my mission, back up on my mission, I'm back up on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man, I got to pay attention, cause I'm working for the Lord and I'm slacking on my mission. On my mission, yeah, on my mission, on my mission, yeah, on my mission. I was slacking on my mission, slacking on my mission. Now I'm back up on my mission. I'm back up on my mission. Back up on my mission.
I used to read my word, now I just glance at it. Was going hard for the Lord every chance I get. Not realizing I had people looking next to me. Glorifying this perfect look that I claim to lead. No, that just wasn't me. So worthless. I guess somehow I forgot just what his word said. The church is supposed to represent Christ. How can I rep God when I'm doing nothing with my life? Now I'm sure, secure, it's time to push through. Who brought me out the last time? Yes, Lord, it was you. My rock, the best. Lord, you're my fortress. So I'm back up on my mission with this cross on my chest.
I'm done slacking.
I gotta get back on it, man. I'm slacking on my mission. Slacking on my mission. Slacking on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man. I'm back up on my mission. Back up on my mission. I'm back up on my mission. I gotta get back on it, man. I got to pay attention, cause I'm working for the Lord and I'm slacking on my mission. On my mission. Yeah, on my mission. On my mission. Yeah, on my mission. I was slacking on my mission. Slacking on my mission. Now I'm back up on my mission. I'm back up on my mission. On my mission, yeah, on my mission. On my mission, yeah, on my mission. I was slacking on my mission. Slacking on my mission. Now I'm back up on my mission. I'm back up on my mission. On my mission, yeah, on my mission. On my mission, yeah, on my mission. I was slacking on my mission. Slacking on my mission. Now I'm back up on my mission. I'm back up on my mission. Back up on my mission.
Hello? I'm trying to reach Pastor Edwards.
Yes, this is Pastor Edwards. How can I help you?
Pastor Edwards, I'm trying to call for forgiveness.
All right, my son, forgiveness of what?
I've stepped out of my marriage, and I've been having a relationship with one of the members of the church.
Well, young man, you called the right person, because in God's house, this is what he said we both to do. He is a gracious person and merciful.
Yes, sir.
And when you do stuff like that, God said he forgive you. But the main thing that you came to acknowledge that you know you did something that is wrong and sinful.
Right. I know it was wrong, and I've been doing it over a year now, you know. I wanted to talk to somebody, you know.
But I'm happy that you called me about this, because when you go through stuff like that, that's what you call a desire, a passion, a lust that you got to get out of you. So I want to know something. Are you a member here? And then again, what is your name?
My name is Derek. I'm not a member there. I come there maybe once a month, sometimes twice a month.
Once a month. Well, I'm here to let you know. God said, you know, we must draw our heart to people in the need that you are doing. Now, what you need to do, young man, is you're doing the right thing, confessing your sin. Tell me more about you.
Well, I just wanted to be forgiven, you know. I wanted to be forgiven for, you know, first of all, stepping outside of my marriage and then messing with somebody in the church.
Well, God forgive you for the sins that you do when you go to him and tell him to forgive you. And he forgive you right then and then, but you got to understand, you got to stop it. And then you're saying you're messing with somebody in the church.
Now, right.
That's where the problem comes, not just in the church. I ain't saying you don't supposed to do it outside, but in the church.
I understand. I know I'm not going to do it anymore, and I made up my mind, but she's just able to make me do whatever she wants me to do.
Well, it seems to me like she got a hold on you, that you got to break that spirit from her, and, I mean, you can't come in contact with her. Even in church, when you see her, sir, you got to go the other direction. You got to leave her alone.
I know.
Hey, man, let me get you to come into my church so I can give you some counseling. Because if you come in here and by you being in my church with me, I know that through me, through the power of God, we can help you overcome what you're going through.
Okay. I can come in for counseling. I mean, I feel bad about what I did and how long I've been doing it.
It's all right. Just come in, let me meet you, and go through some counseling, and I guarantee you, through the power of God, with my help, you will be a better man than what you are right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you going to forgive her, too?
Of course I forgive her. And then the thing about it, God forgive her, too.
You
better get than that. We'll get both of y'all in this so all this can stop. How that sound?
You both of us what?
I would like to have both of y'all in the room with me when I counsel y'all so we can get to the bottom of so this won't never happen again at all.
Right, and you'll forgive both of us, right?
I'll forgive both of y'all.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. So you'll forgive the first lady?
I forgive her too.
Will you forgive the first lady of the church?
The first lady? What you talking about, young man? The first lady of the church is my wife.
I know.
You were having an affair with my wife? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just glad you forgive her.
No. Hold it one down, man. Is this my wife you're talking about, young man?
I've been seeing her for a year.
You were seeing my wife for a year.
I'm glad that you forgive me. I'm glad you said it so I can hear it. And I hope that you say you forgive her too, right?
No. I'm a man of God. But I'm human too, okay? And I have a flesh too. Let me tell you something. I love God to death. But let me tell you something. You come around here with me, I don't know what will happen, but I know one thing. I think I will beat the hell out you. Because I'm a man of God, but it's a certain point that you can push anybody.
But as long as we're doing the right thing at this point, right?
Hell no. It ain't about no right thing at this point. What you done did yesterday and the day before, that's what I want to talk about. Now you want forgiveness. It's consequent come with that forgiveness. When the last you saw my wife?
This morning?
You saw my wife this morning. Let me tell you something. I'm a man of God. Yes, I would love to have you. I would do more than just counsel your okay? But I'll deal with my wife later. You hear me? You're the type of guy that the Bible talk about stoning to death. I won't do that because I'm a man of God. But if I can just see you, I will show you what grace really means to get near your I want to catch you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you from a man point of view. I want to beat the hell out of you. You hear me? I want to beat your myself.
But a minute ago, you forgave me.
I forgave you. Yes. But I'm a man, and you calling me to my church about this incident that happened with my wife. And now you want forgiveness. Yeah, I do forgive you. But I need the Lord to forgive me for what I'm going to do when I get my hands on your because I think I'm going to choke the hell out of you. And then I'm going to beat you. Then I'm going to show you how it feels to be stoned. Because that's what you just did to me. You stoned me.
Will you forgive Tommy?
Who in the hell is a Tommy? She was with him too, huh?
No, I'm asking you, will you forgive Tommy?
Who is Tommy?
Will you forgive Tommy?
I forgive Tommy, but who is Tommy?
Tommy, nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Pastor, you just got pranked by the first lady.
Oh, my God, man. Lord Jesus. That's why God said pray and stay up on his word. I can't speak. Jesus.
Yes,
that's
sir.
That's the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Sir.
Man, go on into my closet and pray. You did me. You did me good. I will get my wife. I will get her for this.
Oh.
Sound the alarm.
Back live with Dr. D. I want to just proclaim that to be the funniest clip I've ever played in the history of my internet radio experience. Rook, what do you got?
Man, that was hilarious. That was one of the better ones right there, Doc. He went from a forgiving heart, Doc, to a what? Hold on, my first lady? That's my wife, Doc.
I want to choke you.
I would choke
you. I want to catch you myself. That was the realest. I would like to think that I wouldn't. I don't think I would like to think I wouldn't change. But I'm not gonna knock Pastor because that's a game time decision. I will say this though, he did not lose his composure. You can tell the Lord with him because he did not lose his composure. We've heard some, but boogers have snapped. They left all the edumacation in their tone. Oh man, I want to catch you myself.
Then he say,
"Wow, Dr. D.
I'm about to go in my closet. I'm about to go in my closet."
Yeah, I go in my closet. Yeah. That's all right. I enjoyed that. I've had that for a couple of days. 516-387-1299. Still taking your calls these last few minutes of this program. We bring it into a close, talking about the consequences, the ramifications of 27 U.S. governors saying that they will not allow Syrian refugees into their state as they flee their own war-torn countries. The president spoke about it. We played a clip at the top of the show. President Obama thought it was foolishness, not his word, my word, that people would want to deny refuge to someone in need, especially when them themselves have been the beneficiaries of America's open-door policy. And that's true, too. Like I said, though, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot on the table. America's living in fear. There could be another civil war. I really don't look at the slave situation, the refugee situation, much different than the slave, slavery situation back in the day. Other than the refugees aren't required to get free labor, you know, but it still talks about classism because if they come, like I talked about Hurricane Katrina, when those people that left had to flee New Orleans, they were refugees from New Orleans to other states. And you got to receive those people. You have to give them medical, dental. You have to give them a place to stay and food to eat or the ability to get those things for themselves. And yet there are people already in those states, in this country, who need those things who don't have them. So it is one of those situations where, as Brother R said, you know, where you want to be helped. Rick, you said the same thing, want to be a help to people. It is good to help. I'm a proponent of that. I said that, you know, not always the most logical decision, or definitely not one of economic value, but it's the right thing to do. But it does say something though. You know, why are you treating these outsiders better than me? And that's how some people would look at that. That's just the reality of it. So feel free to follow us on Facebook, Live with Dr. D on our Facebook page. Of course, Dr. D Live on Twitter, the Twitter. And Instagram, and you can leave your comments there, and maybe we'll get to them on our third edition of our show. Before we dismiss and get out of here and end the show, I want to wish a special happy 5th anniversary to our leaders of our ministry, and that is Kia and Jay. Happy 5 years going strong to you guys. We love you, and we pray 55,000 more, if it be in the will of the Lord. Young couple, still going strong. Seen some things, been some places. And so 5 years is a long time. I don't care what you say. So we thank God for them. We want to acknowledge them publicly, supporters of this show, of course, our church as a whole. Rook, it is about that time, sir. Please do what you do.
Well, Doc, I enjoyed today's show. Very educational to me today, Doc. You got me wanting to go on YouTube and search some things myself, but nevertheless, you can catch me and Dr. D live with Dr. D tomorrow We're live with Dr. D. Until then, everybody be safe and be blessed. Until then, I'm out, y'all.
Seeking your prayers. We're about to get ready to go to a homegoing service. We got two this week, and so your prayers are much solicited. And if you're in the Detroit area, we are welcome to join us on this Saturday night at 6:30 for our All About Thanksgiving concert. A number of different churches are going to be with us. We're going to just praise and worship the Lord together on a Saturday night. And, of course, on Sunday, the 22nd at 5 o'clock, you can come and join us for our building dedication service. And we may stream that one live on the Internet. We'll let you know. We have that information maybe about streaming maybe on Thursday's broadcast. But until then, be it God's will. We'll be back tomorrow. As always, Godspeed is our prayer.